this last couple of weeks, if you've missed either of the weeks, I really encourage you to go get them from the podcast. We talked about what biblical elders and pastors look like, and then last week we talked about biblical deacons, and today we're talking about biblical membership. It would be real easy if you're visiting or you're just hanging out with, you're just kind of like, you know, what in the world? I didn't really know I was coming on, you know, one of the ecclesiology weeks, which is the study of the church. Here's the thing. This is really important for us to understand. And the reason that it's really important for us to understand is because the church, the body of believers, is not a building with walls and bricks and mortar. It's not a warehouse that sits behind City Hall in Pleasant View. The church is the people. And Scripture teaches us that the church, that the body of believers, that we are to see the church as the bride of Christ. And if we're to see the church as the bride of Christ, and one of the things that we're to understand as its members is that we are to protect it. So we're going to be talking about that today. And so I think that it's important this morning that we see how we glorify God through protecting the bride of Christ, through being biblical members of the church. And so this morning we're talking about a bunch of this stuff, and I've got so much stuff on my heart, my mind. There's no way I can give it all to you. I knew that coming into this morning. There are passages that I'm going to refer to that I'm giving you so that you can check them out on your own. I've said this last couple weeks, and this always stands, if you ever want my notes on what I'm talking about, I'm glad to email them to you. Just shoot me an email or give me a call or whatever, and I'll be glad to share those with you. But this morning, we're talking, and by the way, if you don't have a Bible with you, get a Bible. We have Bibles on the bookcases in the back. In fact, I'm going to have ushers if they would. If anybody needs a Bible, just raise your hand real quick. We've got some ushers that will bring those to you. We've got some folks here. Don't be afraid. And listen, if you do not own a Bible and you need one of those Bibles, it's yours. Take it home with you. Use it. Let God speak to you through it. It's His Word. It is His truth. Things are kind of crazy at my house right now. We are just waiting the wait, if you will, of having a baby. And my wife is at the point of, you know, when you ask her, "Are you okay?" She's like, "Yes, I'm okay." And what that means is, and she's not being snotty at me. What she means by that is, "Yes, I'm okay, and I don't want to be okay. I want to be having this baby right now." We are waiting and excited about the birth of a new little girl, and I wanted to make mention this coming week, and I'm really torn about this. I'm hoping we have our baby this week, but I'm also hoping that I can be here this coming weekend because we have a special guest coming to speak this next weekend. We never do that. If you've been around 24, you could count on your hand how many people we've had that we have shared and allowed to come and teach. And honestly, part of the reason is that is because we're very protective of it. Because I've been in churches, some of you have been in churches where, a guy comes and you think that he's going to do a good thing, and he gets up and he teaches something that's not biblical. And we really, really try to protect that. And so the guy that's coming this coming weekend, his name's Ed Stetzer. It's really a blessing that we're getting to have him get to come be here. There are a lot of folks that would like to have Ed come to their church. We're just fortunate that he lives in the Nashville area. He is kind of a church planting guru, if you will, has written a lot of books on that kind of stuff, and has actually been my professor twice with two different seminaries, and is just an awesome guy. And he is hilarious, actually. He's pretty funny. He's very sarcastic. He will probably make fun of me and us and everything while he's here. And at the end of it all, somehow God will be glorified by it. But Ed's cool. And so I'm telling you so that you don't miss next week and be here and get to hear God use Ed in the life of our church. This morning, this message, I have really just been kind of wound up about this thing. I get this way about certain messages, and I've been kind of playing it off to most people, but I've been pretty wound up about this thing. And the reason I think is because it hits so close to home with what we're talking about this morning, and the idea of membership. And so many people, I think, just want to dismiss it. I want to go back and just kind of say, and I want to even apologize by saying this. I should have taught this message probably a year ago. and it probably would have helped a lot of people have a better understanding of some of the changes that we were going through as a church. I'll be real honest with you, I don't know that I was ready to. I don't know that God had me ready to. Obviously, He has His timing. It didn't happen, so it wasn't supposed to. But, you know, it's one of those things that I look back, and in hindsight's 2020, I wish that we could have given you this information, had this message before now. And so if you'll take my apology, please show mercy on me and us for not sharing, you know, maybe more clearly or whatever it is. You know, the membership thing, if you're just tuning in, our church has gone through a membership change. We had a membership that we started when we first started the church 6 years ago. And then, you know, in the last couple of years, God really, really began convicting my heart that we were missing it in some areas and that we needed to do something about it. I really just wanted to just pretend like that didn't exist and just let's just not worry about it. But I knew in my heart that I couldn't do that. And if I did that, I would be in sin and I would be a poor leader to our church. And so we had to look at this stuff. And so we just started seeking scripture and just seeing, okay, God, what would you have for us? What does membership look like in your word? And so this morning, we're going to talk about some of that stuff. We're going to share about some of that stuff. Six years ago when we started the church, you know, I was a young, dumb, I'm still both of those things, actually, despite what my wife might say. I was young and dumb and a youth pastor, and all I knew was that God was leading me to plant a church, and that is a confusing thing to have to go through the process of, and just, you know, all of the, there's so many things to planting church. And one of the things that, you know, I'm probably not good at is always, you know, really thinking through and analyzing things. You know, Ben and I have this conversation from time to time, you know, where he might overanalyze something and where I'm just like, let's just jump in and do it. You know, we'll figure it out as we go. And we're great to work together because of that, because we offset each other very well. But, you know, for the starting of a church, you know, one of the things that happened is, you know, we just kind of, we found some things that were working for some other churches. We're like, well, that seems to be, you know, going good there, and that seems to work there. Let's just adopt that and do that, and we'll take the piece here, and, you know, and just kind of throw it all together, and bam, let's just start a church. And so we just did. We just started a church. And I don't want to say that we did it blindly. We spent a year working on the church before we actually started meeting, but even still, there were things that we probably could have done a little bit better of, and honestly, you know, God teaches us things along the way. And I think there's been this natural progression that we see in Scripture of even just how, I taught a couple weeks ago about how the pastors got to a point where the work of the ministry was too much for them to handle, and so then they had to appoint deacons, and, you know, and so you got all these pieces. And I think sometimes God just wants those things to happen naturally, maybe before we can just have it all together. And the truth is we don't have it all together. We will never have it all together. We're a big bunch of sinners, and we're just here under the grace of God through the blood of Jesus, saved by faith in Him, and just thankful to try to make a go of this and hopefully glorifying God in the process. And so, you know, the whole thing here in this whole membership thing is this understanding for us that if the church is the bride of Christ and we, as the church, are called to protect her, what does that look like? It brings some huge importance to this, and I just don't know that I was really thinking about that when we were starting a church. You know, there's just so much to this. And so, again, thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for being merciful on a young leader, on a young pastor, as God has been molding and shaping even my heart and my understanding of things. One of the things that I think that we have to do, really before we even jump into this, I think that needs to be very clear is that we as a church have to do two things. And Locke's brought this up this week, and this is great, and he'd heard it from somebody, so we stole it and whatever. We got to do two things. One thing is that we've got to approach everything with 100% grace. 100% grace. But then we also have to approach everything with 100% truth. This can be a conundrum at times. You know, because, you know, even in my heart, there are times when I know something that I need to do because God's word teaches me I need to do it. But the truth is I would rather just pretend like that didn't happen with that person and brush it under the rug and let's not really deal with it. And let's just all be happy and be friends. You know, and but the truth is that if we were to do that, we are not being good friends to each other. We're not being what we see in Scripture as people that are pushing each other toward Jesus. One of the hardest things that we could possibly do is to, you know, show one another, you know, where we might be having a fault in our faith or something. But the truth is we need that. It's one of many things that we need. So this morning, I want us to think about, I want to think about the church, our church membership on a couple different ways. I want us to think about an offense and a defense. Now, I'm not a huge sporting guy, but in some ways, I'm really into sports too. I don't keep up with a whole lot of it, mostly because of time and not having cable or whatever, you know, but it's one of those things where, like, I'm hanging out with friends, and they've got their favorite football teams, and they're like, oh, yeah, and we need this, and we got that, and my, I've got, like, this one joke, and I can use it over and over, and I can't believe that it really works this many times, but, you know, I'll just be like, oh, do they still have a team? You know, and then they get mad at me, and I'm like, you know that I'm clueless, I don't care, you know, I don't care if your team wins or loses, you know, but, you know, it's just funny to me, you know, how much we care about that, and in thinking about that, you know, we hear language about, you know, we need a new defensive coordinator, and we need, you know, this and that, and the truth is a good team, a winning team, has a great offense and a great defense. And just even if you want to go leadership principle, which that's not really where I'm headed today, but if you just wanted to even do that alone, I think for us as the church is that we've got to understand that we too have to have a good offense and a good defense. Our offense, when it comes to this particular subject, I think is that we have to be doers of the word. We have to be doers of God's truth. And secondly, our defense on this thing is that we have to protect the church. Every one of us is called to be a member of the body. In fact, I want to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. If you got a Bible, go there. We're gonna be all over the map with Scripture today. So try your best to hang with me. I'm going to try to give them to you quicker than I gave to the first crowd, because I was just rolling through this stuff. But 1 Corinthians 12, 12 paints a picture for us of what this looks like and how this plays out as us as members of a body. Here it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." This is one of the most simple things that we could possibly get. I wanted to illustrate this a half a dozen different ways. I thought about everything under the sun that I could bring up here on stage and take apart and show you the different pieces, but how it doesn't work, you know, unless you have the whole together. I thought about a motorcycle. I thought about an arcade game that I work on, you know, whatever it might be. And the truth is, I just didn't do it because I thought it's going to take too much time. But just even in saying that, I think that we can understand that God has given each of us a calling, although we may not always know what it is. He has given each and every one of us a calling to be a part of the body of Christ. So what does that look like? What does that mean? For us to be a part of this understanding, I think we can just very simply get, we're called to a body. We're called to a body of believers. We're called to a church. We're called to serve within it. It's very simple. We're called to give in our time, our talents, and our treasure. Now here's what happens. You know, we live in America. You know, I watched several of the guys from Passion over the last week or whatever, you know, talk about different things. And, you know, they're talking about going to different parts of the world. And one of the things that they were talking about is that they went to other parts of the world and they would ask, you know, so what's it like here? And you're talking about places where there is, you know, legitimate, you know, persecution against the church. Like people aren't just like, you know, openly driving out with their SUVs in the morning going, hey, how y'all doing out in the parking lot? And, oh, yeah, you got some mud on there. You need to clean that off. You know, it's not like that. In many places around the world, and they were talking about going to some of these places, and they were talking with some of these people, and the interesting conversation that was being had was that, you know, they were asking people, what's it like here? What's it like that you've experienced where you have seen people that say they are Christians but not act like they are Christians? And they would laugh. They would just start laughing and go, what? What are you talking about? And they couldn't even fathom that somebody might do this. I mean, it was so such an alien thought that somebody would say that they're a Christian, but they wouldn't act like a Christian. That they would say that they're a part of a body of believers, but that they wouldn't serve within it. And one of the guys, Chan specifically, heard him talking about this, and he said, yeah, and he was like, yeah, don't you, you know, in America, he starts trying to explain the American church. He's like, you know, in America, you know, people, you know, they jump from church to church because, you know, this church has got better music, or this church has got a better kids thing going on, or whatever. And at the end of it, you know, they're just looking and they're just laughing. They think it's hilarious. And the truth is that it's horrible. It's horrible that we've gotten to a place where the church is about what can the church do for me. I'll just tell you right now, and this may just completely turn you off from church membership, but church membership is not about what we get out of it. It's about what we can do for the glory of God through it. And that should be our lives. We're called to a body. We're called to serve within it. And what happens when we do is God is glorified. Second reason, and really just to kind of even just go there, if you want to give an actual title to the first reason of this, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, you know, being a part of the body is that, you know, if there's a reason for us to be members of a church, it's obedience. It's to be servants, it's to obey what God has commanded us to do, has called us to do. So obedience is the first thing. The second thing, if you will, is to have community, to be a part of a family. Have community. We're not going here, but I'm giving you Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 13 for you to look at later. In that passage of Scripture, what you see is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus and kind of calling them out and saying, hey, guys, you have got to keep the unity within the church. No matter what's going on, you've got to keep the unity in the church. Whatever happens, you've got to keep the unity in the church. That passage of Scripture is so rich with the things that Paul talks about. I mean, it is so convicting to me. And I think I'm trying to keep the unity in the church most days. But it convicts me in just showing me that, you know, my heart is not always there. We need community. We need to be able to have people that care for us, that will pray for us, that will serve us. And we need to be a part of the process where we are caring for others, praying for others, and serving one another. There you go, one another's Beatitudes. It is all over Scripture. This is what we're called to do. Jesus came as a servant, set the example for us. The church lived out as the body of Christ are a group of people that are serving one another. Just yesterday, I met a family who had visited our church for the first time last week. I talked with the dad. Dad's a big old guy, awesome, awesome family. Really loved getting to hang out with them and just getting to meet them for a little while. But talking with Dad, and Dad was just like, yeah, you know, we came last week, and it was our first time to come, and we'd heard about the church. And, you know, he said, I'll just be honest with you. We were coming in. He said, I was a little nervous about the whole thing. And here's a guy, he's taller than most guys in here, and, you know, probably take anybody you want to, you know, and, you know, just, and we're just talking about this, and he's just, you know, kind of being honest and just like, you know, I was a little scared about coming to the church. And we've all been there. We've all had instances where we've gone somewhere we've never been before. And I think that we need to remember this about people that come and visit with us. And maybe you're here today, you're visiting with us, and you're hanging out, and maybe you're kind of feeling this way, and you're like, gosh, we're talking about membership and all this kind of craziness. You know, I don't even know. You know, here's the thing. Every person that walks through that door is looking for community. They are looking for community because God created us needing it. We cannot do this alone. And Scripture shows us over and over the importance of this to be the case. We need community. We need people that will be there for us. We need to be there for each other. We need to be a part of the process. That's a part of being the body of Christ. Third thing, we need accountability. We need accountability. Matthew 18, verse 15. We're going to go there if you want to flip to it. We all need accountability. I need accountability. Every pastor on our church's staff needs accountability. Every soon-to-be deacon is going to need accountability. Every person in the church needs accountability. You see, here's the thing. The truth is we don't want it sometimes, though. And it's easier for us to just, you know, kind of come up with other reasons and say, well, I'm not going to become a member because, you know, well, I don't this or I don't that or, you know, whatever. And the truth is sometimes, not all the time, I'm not saying that everybody that is not going to be a member is feeling this way, but sometimes it is because they really just don't want the accountability. And let me just tell you, we need this. We need this. Matthew 18, verse 15 says this. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So this is pretty simple so far. What we got here is we've got somebody that has fallen into sin, and somebody has seen them stumble. They're concerned for them. It's not a, you know, I'm going to go lynch this person, or I'm, you know, going to try to make a fool out of them, or a public, you know, spectacle out of them, or whatever. And he says, you know, he goes to the guy or the girl or whatever and says, you know, hey, this is what's happened. I see this. I'm caring for you. I love you. I don't want you to fall into sin. They want nothing to do with it. Don't want to admit it, repent of it, whatever it is. And so Scripture, what it teaches us is that you go back with a couple more. And again, this is not a lynching. It's not a you're getting the people that don't like this person together. It is a you're getting people that are concerned and love Jesus and love this person and want to see this person restored in who Christ is through what he has done on the cross. And still, this person not responding. So, third time. This is what happens third time. Verse 17. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. This is hard stuff. This is not easy stuff. This can be really hard. Here's the thing with this, though. This is not about trying to, like I said, make a mockery out of someone or anything like that. This is about trying to push people back toward Jesus when they fall down. And we need that from each other. I'm saying we need that from each other. Not, you know, well, the pastors are going to do this, you know, to people when they're bad in the church. That's not what this is about. I am just as much a member of this church as any other member of the church, and they are just as much a member of this church as much as I am. You see, we need accountability. And this scripture teaches us, yes, you can go to a guy, you can go to a brother that's fallen or whatever and say, hey, I see that you've done wrong or whatever. Yeah, you can do that outside of the church. Totally. You could totally care for somebody in that way. But this passage specifically shows us that there is a specific point in time where if they continue to be unrepentant and not want to turn back and you are continually wanting and feeling led to try to move them toward, you know, repentance, then you tell it to the church. Now, who's the church? This is where we start having to ask some hard questions. Are we going to do that on Sunday morning? No, we're not. You see, there are things that have to be carried out by a committed group of believers. And we see this committed group of believers all through Scripture as folks that are called to help protect the church, help lead the church, all these different things. And in doing so, they've got to be this set-apart kind of deal. Now, here's the thing. Anybody can be a member of the church. They just need to know Jesus. They need to be obedient to him. You know, for us, you know, we've got some classes and stuff we ask people to go through. Why do we ask people to go through that? Because we're trying to push them toward Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's all. I'm not interested in being legalistic. By the way, if we were, that would be a sin. We're not interested in being in sin. We're interested in trying to push people toward Jesus. And what we see here is that 100% grace, 100% truth. Sometimes it's hard to do what Scripture actually tells us that we have to do. But the truth is it has to be done. Last Sunday night, we had one of our first member meetings, like what we're going to do. We're going to try to do them every other month and have a time where people can come hang and fellowship. And, you know, we're going to go over things that are going on in the church. We went over things in that meeting last Sunday night that I would not go over on Sunday morning. And they were things that we were wanting the members of the church to know about and things that we were wanting input from the membership of the church into. We did all kinds of things that night. We prayed over a lady that's you know got some stuff going on medically in her life right now. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happened there. But here's the thing at the end of the day. You can't see it as some kind of like club. It's not a club. There is no club. There is no membership card. We're not going to make any. We haven't even made business cards since 6 years. Don't let Satan fool you into thinking that this is something that it's not. What we're trying to do is trying to be the biblical church because it is the bride of Christ. Some people would say, well, Chris, you know, all this new membership stuff, oh my gosh, you know, I like the old church where we, you know, we were open arms and reaching out and all this kind of stuff. Do you really think that we're changing that? I will quit if we change that, okay? If everybody decides to trump me on that one, you can kiss me goodbye. I will go start another church somewhere else. We are just as much about reaching people as we ever have been. Because I think there's this kind of thing that goes with it. It's like, oh, well, you know, they're not going to try to care for people. They're not members of the church now. No, that's not the truth at all. Now, we did have a lady read a letter, or we read a letter from a lady this past Sunday night of how, and she is a covenant member of our church, and we got to read this letter about how the members of the church have come around her and her family over the last couple years and how it has just completely changed their lives. It was one of my favorite moments to last Sunday night. God was glorified through it, and she was giving praise and glory to God for it. But let me tell you this. I also stood in a hospital room yesterday with someone that I had never met before and has visited our church one time, whose son, who's 3 years old, got life-flighted to Vanderbilt, and I met them for the first time in that hospital room. They are not church members. I did not know who they were. I didn't even know how to spell their name until I saw it on a piece of paper. We are still just as much called to go and reach, but then we are still just as much called to hear and teach so that we can turn around and send people out. This is not about building some 24 kingdom. We don't care. I don't care how big the building gets. I really don't. I don't want big buildings. I would rather just plant new churches. Why wouldn't we do that? It just makes sense. It's biblical. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Proverbs 27:27 says this. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. To go with accountability, and this could be two different things, and I could make that argument pretty easy, but I'm throwing them together, so I hope that's okay. But I think this is a great picture and a great reminder for us that one of the things that the church is called to do is to disciple people. Discipleship. I just said that a second ago when I was talking about, you know, we're going to reach people, but we're also going to teach people as well. We're called to both of those things, reaching people and teaching people. For us as members, I think that it's important for us that we have people in our lives that are not afraid to tell us foul when we need to hear it. There are times in my life when I need to hear foul. There are times in your life when you're going to need to hear foul. And sometimes, you know, we just get in this mode of like, well, we're just such good friends. I don't want to say anything because, you know, I don't want to, you know, make them mad at me. It's not about that. We're not being good friends if we're not honest. If we love Jesus and we want to see them grow in Christ, then we'll do those things. And we'll do them with 100% grace. And 100% truth. Both things. Next thing. Why be a member? Leadership. This is pretty simple. I'll run through these pretty quick. But leadership. You know, part of being a member, we mentioned last Sunday night, actually, to our membership. You know, we said, hey, you know, we talked about deacons and said, you know, we're going to be having deacons soon to try to help with, you know, leading ministries of the church. And, you know, I'll actually call them deacons and use the biblical requirements and what we see there and all those things. And we said, hey, you know, in Scripture, pastors are supposed to nominate who those people are. Pastors are supposed to appoint who those people are. But we said to our membership last week, hey, we are looking for your input here. You are people that have committed to this body of believers and to helping protect it. We want your input. If you see somebody here that you think would make a great deacon, then let us know. Let us know. Open game, share with us, and we'll go and we'll talk with them. We'll pray about that and see if that's somebody that needs to be a deacon. Doesn't mean everybody gets nominated is going to be a deacon. But it's part of leading the church. Being a member is a part of leading the church. Another thing that we do in leadership as members is we affirm the budget. I got to share with them last Sunday night that the budget for 2011 passed unanimously. It's awesome. It's good stuff. But I got to share that with them because they were the ones who voted on it. Members vote on our budget to affirm it or reject it. Thirdly, we have positions in the church that are only held by members. Leadership positions in our church are only held by members. You say, well, Chris, that sounds a little exclusive. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that anybody in any organization, I don't care if it's a church, a nonprofit, a business, do you think that there's hardly any organizations that aren't collapsing or probably going to at some point that don't have committed people as the leadership of that organization? This is just basic understanding of stuff. Because here's the thing. We don't want to put anybody in a situation where we've got some rogue person over here who's, you know, just kind of bucking the membership thing and just like, well, I'm not going to do it because this, that, and whatever. You know, and the truth be known is oftentimes because they got some big disagreement, but they don't want to come talk about it. Why would we want them to lead? That's just dumb. That is not protecting the church. That is just blindly letting Satan have his way in to do whatever he wants to. And I'm not saying that person's of the devil or anything like that. There's some well-meaning, godly people that, you know, would love to serve. But the truth is it sends red flags up for anybody in leadership when you see somebody that says, well, I want to lead, but I'm not committed in the same way that other people are. That just doesn't make sense. We've got to protect the bride. Next thing, why be a member of the church? Because we are called to make sure that the church is gathered and scattered. Case in point, Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42 paints this incredible picture that we see of the church gathered. And I think that this is important for us to see because we need to know what does the church look like in Scripture gathered. This is it. Verse 42 of Acts 2 says this. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I love this picture. This picture is so not what we are used to, even in most churches, where people are generously doing anything that is needed for someone else. That's what I loved about getting to share that letter with our membership last Sunday night. Was I loved them getting to hear how members of our church had come around their family and generously done things above and beyond the call of duty, if you will, to be there and minister to this family. It's an amazing picture of who the church is called to be. That should be us. That's living out being parts of the body of Christ. But I got to be honest with you, and this is just coming from the pastor and the leader of our church. There are moments in time when we have needs within our church, within families in our church, that I can't just get up on a Sunday morning and openly share it with everyone. But I can with our membership. And even at that, I have to do it with permission. But there are times when we are going to need to come around people. Do you want to be a part of that? Part of being a member is getting to live that out. Because an understanding in becoming a member is that when things like that are going down, it's not free game for us to gossip about them and talk about them to everybody else. We're here to protect them and help provide for them. The church is to gather. It is to gather for the glory of God, and that is what we see in this picture of Acts 2. But the church is also supposed to scatter. Acts 11, verse 22. Acts 11, verse 22, and it's just one verse, and it's a very simple verse. And it says this. It says, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. I love the name Barnabas, by the way. This guy actually was an incredible, incredible dude. Incredible carrier of the gospel and was known as an encourager. Barnabas was being sent out. Sent out from what? From the church. Part of being a member of our church is that we have got to help protect that our church doesn't just gather in our little huddle, but that we are a part of sending out. That's a part of protecting the church. And you see, Barnabas here was being sent out to spread the gospel. We see this all through the New Testament. We see all of this about the local church. We see church planting happening in the New Testament. Half of the New Testament are letters to brand new churches that have just been started. And in many ways are just glimpses into what God is calling the church to be. You know, for us to see this picture, for us to get this and ignore this would be stupid of us. In fact, I would venture to say that if we were not about sending out, then I don't think God would even bless a church that's not willing to send out. You see, what I said earlier is we are going to reach people with the gospel. We want them to know about Jesus and his sacrifice and how salvation only comes through him on a cross. And then we want to teach them about what it looks like to be a believer in Christ, to be sons and daughters of God, and then we want to send them out. Some of you are going to be sent out. Some of you probably came to this church, and you're probably still here. Maybe you've been here for a while, or maybe you've been here for a few weeks, and you've been thinking, man, I love this church, so I'm going to be in this church forever. And the truth is that there's going to come a day where maybe for some of you that God says to your heart, you know what, I'm supposed to be part of the sent. This works perfectly for Ed Stetzer to come next weekend and share with us. Works perfectly in an understanding that we are a church planting church. We are not a 24 building church. We have a church that is being planted this year. Ben is going to be the pastor of it. Many of you are going to have the opportunity to pray about being a part of that new work. Let me tell you what, that is probably one of the most exciting things that could ever happen for us, is to see people being sent out for the advancing of the kingdom of God. Part of being members is that we would protect this, that we would protect being a church planting church, that we would protect sending people out. And lastly, probably the most important reason for us to be members of a church is that we would glorify God. You say, Chris, how is being a member of a church glorifying God? Well, let me just tell you. One of the changes, hopefully, that have been made with our new membership is there's more accountability to actually being the parts of the body of the church, serving in the church, being discipled in the church, than what there was before. And so in doing so, I think for us just to even get a glimpse and an understanding of how God is glorified through us is when we serve. when we serve God, when we actually fulfill who we are in the body of Christ instead of being consumer Christians that just come on Sunday mornings. You see, this again, this is an American mentality. It's easy for us to be consumers. We want to consume. It's all about us. Let me tell you what. Membership, the church, the glory of God is not about you, and it's not about me. It is about Jesus' name proclaimed, Him made famous. That's what we were created for. But, I mean, you know, Satan has his games. He likes to play his games, doesn't he? Put it in our mind, oh, you don't want to do that? Why would you want to be a member? He even do one better than that. Oh, well, you were already a member. And then they go changing stuff. They're going to expect you to do something else. Why in the world should you have to do anything else? It's not about us. I didn't want to do this. God had to convict my heart for us to do this. He had to show me, Chris, you were an idiot. You were young, dumb, and stupid when you started the church, and you didn't know any better. People had grace, and you know, I was still glorified, and I did my thing, but guess what? The church is growing. And things have to be put into place to structure this thing so that we can protect it. God is glorified when we protect His church. God is glorified when we serve well in His church, when we serve one another in the church, pray for one another in the church. God is glorified in our unity in the church. God is glorified when you have this big issue and someone else has this big issue and you come together and you start doing this and all of a sudden we've got, like, you know, WWE SmackDown has broke out. Let me just tell you what. You go back to that passage in Ephesians 4, and it talks about keeping the unity of the church. And if you wonder, if you want to know why in the world would God want me to work that out with that person who is obviously wrong, and they're probably of the devil? Because it glorifies God. We do it because it glorifies God. We don't do it for us. We were never supposed to do it for us. We are always supposed to do it for Him. And we have an opportunity to do that. I have I have a lot of friends. I let myself get close to people. Sometimes that's bad because you end up getting hurt sometimes. It's part of life. But I have a lot of friends, and one of, you know, especially the pastors of our church that I work with day in day out, when any of my close buddies or whatever are out of town and I know that they're out of town, I make a point to tell them, you know, I'll say, if they're married, I'll say, hey, dude, you let your wife know if she needs something from us, please call us. We will do whatever we need to do, middle of the night, we don't care, whatever. We're here. You're out of town, we're here. I'll many times send a text message or Facebook message or whatever, and even say the same thing to that person's wife, just saying, hey, I just want you to know if you need something, you call us. We're here. You know why I do that? I love them. I love that family. And I want to help protect their brides in the midst of them being gone. That makes sense, right? We understand that. So if we're willing to do that for our friends' brides, why would we not be willing to do it for the bride of Jesus Christ? Why would we think that that's an option for us? Why would we think that that's just a good idea and I don't have to do that really? It's not really that important. I'm going to be gone one day. I'm going to die or something. Everybody's been worried about the horoscope thing I hear recently, the changes or something. It's pretty funny. I'll tell you your horoscope. Here it goes. I got it from Chris Rock. You're going to die. Okay? It's a morbid thought, I know, but it's just truth. You know, we're 100% grace, 100% truth here. You're going to die. We love you. You're going to die. Something's going to happen to me. Something's going to happen to every pastor on this staff. Who is going to protect this church? Who is going to protect this church to make sure that the pastors that come to follow us in the days to come are not men or women that are false teachers, teaching a false gospel? The importance of membership is huge. It's all over Scripture that there is a committed group of believers who are about protecting the bride of Christ, who are about carrying out the ministry. It's not about having a club. It's not about being a legalist. We will never do that. I don't want to do that. You say, well, you know, it seems like, you know, the membership thing's a big deal right now. It is a big deal right now because we want everybody to get it. We've given extra time through May even to try to help people get it. If you've got further questions, we still want to help you get it. We still want to help you understand. The truth is everybody that we've really gotten to sit down with and talk to have walked away going, gosh, that's awesome. I just didn't have a full understanding of this thing. Our ultimate goal here is that God is glorified, that we get to share Jesus Christ, that we get to share the message of the gospel, that we get to share salvation through the cross with as many people as possible, and that we could teach them and lead them in being who God has called us to be as the church, to help protect the church so we can continue to do those things and send out. That's who we want to be. That's 24 Church. And in our heart, that I think that is loving God, loving people, and living gospel. And I know that there's folks that have been members in the past, and they say, well, why in the world do I need to be a member? Well, I'll tell you, there are changes to the new membership. I don't want you just to want to bring you under something that you don't even know what it is. I want to give you an opportunity to commit to it. Secondly, I think it's great for us to set an example for people that come behind us who are maybe not even believers yet. But for us to be able to say to them, yeah, I went through that, and it's awesome, you should do it, I think is a big deal. There's a young man in our church right now that I have watched come to Christ this summer, baptized this summer, went through membership, and because of the way the membership is set up now, had a very clear understanding of not just that he's supposed to serve and that he's supposed to be in a small group and all this stuff, but how to use his Bible, who Jesus is, all of this stuff. And you know what he's doing now? He's serving in our kids' church now on Sunday mornings. He's at Seeds Theological Training on Saturday mornings. He is thankful for this process. It's great for us to be able to say, I've done that, you should do it too. Thirdly, if you're already a member, and I promise I'm not saying this in some way to try to guilt you in any way. None of this is some kind of guilt thing, okay? But if you're a member, I would think that you would want to help protect the church. Because I can't do it by myself. Pastors can't do it by themselves. Even with deacons added, we couldn't all do that by ourselves. The membership of the church is called to serve and protect it. We see in Scripture where Jesus talks about her being holy and blameless, without spot and wrinkle and all that stuff, and that is the bride of Christ. Let's don't trample on her. Let's don't throw her under the bus. And maybe at the end of the day, you come to a conclusion, you go, maybe this isn't the church for us because there's some big theological thing that we completely disagree with that are what we call close-handed things that are, you know, very basic doctrines of the faith that we won't waver on. And let me just say to you, it's okay. I hate it when anybody goes, but it is okay if God is leading you to be a part of a different fellowship of believers. You need to be a part of a local church body committed in membership. I really believe that. I wrote this week. It's nothing just astronomically good, but it was just kind of my thought, and I wanted it to be my closing thought. In reference to membership, it says, membership, a commitment to agree together who we are as the church and what we will do for one another at all costs for the sake of the gospel and the glory of God. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. I mean, you can break it down a million different ways. That's it. And this morning, we need to be reminded that we all need the strength, the teaching, the care that comes from being a part of a committed group of believers. Even furthermore, we need to be obedient to who God's calling us to be, to serve Him as a part of the body of Christ. So I'll say all that to say this. Pray. Ask God to show you in your heart what you need to do. Ask God to show you in your heart what you need to do. If you decide that you even if you're still thinking about it, but you want to seek more information, you want to ask questions. Actually, tonight is perfect timing. It wasn't planned this way. But tonight, we actually have what's called 24 Rush Hour. I think this is the last time we're going to call it that because I think it's just a confusing name for people, which we've had that name for 6 years, and I think I came up with it, but it's really not that great of a name. Tonight, this is our membership class. It's going to meet at 5 o'clock. And you can come, you can ask questions, you can get all the information in the world about our membership, even get a copy of our member covenant so you can see it. Don't make a decision before you see that. You know, give it a shot. That's at 5 o'clock. I want us to pray, and then we're going to make a transition here, and I want us to do something this morning. We've been talking about the body of Christ. We've been talking about what it means to be the body of believers, but I thought, you know what? I think that it's important for us on a day like this when it's so heavy about something that is maybe the structure of something or whatever, even though it's from Scripture, I think it's just good for us to keep Jesus at the focus. And as we've been talking about being the body of Christ, I wanted us to celebrate after this, remembering, reflecting, meditating on the literal body of Christ, who Jesus is, what He's done for us through communion. I want us to pray together, and then I want to read some Scripture, and we're going to have a time where we can take the Lord's Supper. Let's just pray for a second. God, I pray that You would be glorified. I pray to God that we wouldn't get caught up in anything but You. God, that's all we need. All we need is You. God, nothing else but You. None but Jesus. God, just help us see that. Help us, help the leaders of our church, help the membership of our church, help the folks that are thinking, praying about what they should do in their role as a part of the body of Christ. God, I just pray that for all of us, God, that You would convict our hearts, me included, convict my heart in ways that I need to be convicted in how to help lead. God, just guide us and direct us. We are completely, completely needing You. God, thank You for the opportunity we have to come to share, to look through Your Word. God, I pray that You've been glorified through it all. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.